Good morning. My name is Concetta Wright. I'm currently a CSTE Epidemiology Fellow at the El Paso Quarantine Station and the Texas Department of State Health Services located in El Paso, Texas. And this morning I'll be presenting on the determinants of hepatitis B vaccination among adults in the U.S. using 8 years of NHANES data. And this was part of my MPH thesis at Virginia Commonwealth University. Hepatitis B is a potentially life-threatening liver infection caused by the hepatitis B virus, and it's estimated that about 1.3 million people in the U.S. are chronically infected. The vaccine was first licensed in 1982, and it was recommended for adults that were at increase of contracting the virus, but coverage among those people remained low. There is also an increasing burden of hepatitis B-related diseases resulting from infections acquired during childhood. As a result, the ACIP recommended four strategies to increase vaccination coverage. The first step was universal vaccination of infants beginning at birth, routine screening of all pregnant women for the hepatitis B surface antigen, and also prophylaxing infants born to women who were positive or who had an unknown status. Routinely vaccinating all children who had not been vaccinated previously, and also vaccinating all adults at increased risk of infection. Among adults, transmission primarily occurs among those with high-risk behaviors, specifically heterosexuals with multiple sex partners, injection drug users, men who have sex with men, and through horizontal transmission. Horizontal transmission is the spread of an infectious agent from one person to another, usually through contact with a contaminated material like sputum or feces. Healthy People 2010 lists two goals specifically related to hepatitis B. The first goal is 14-3, which states to reduce hepatitis B among adults and high-risk youth by targeting them at HIV clinics, STD clinics, and other high-risk healthcare facilities. Goal 14-28 is to increase hepatitis B vaccine coverage among high-risk groups. The groups specifically mentioned include hemodialysis patients, men who have sex with men, incarcerated people, healthcare workers, people with a history of STDs or multiple sex partners, injection drug users, and household contacts of those who are hepatitis B positive. We had three objectives in our study. The first was to determine how many people are vaccinated or have immunity. The second was to figure out if those who report vaccination are actually immune due to the vaccine, and what demographic and socioeconomic factors play a role in self-reported vaccination status. I combined 8 years of the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey from 1999 to 2006. This is a national survey with a household interview and a laboratory component that's representative of the non-institutionalized U.S. population. Our inclusion criteria were adults between the ages of 20 and 59 who completed both components of the survey. They also had to answer all questions related to sexual practice and illegal drug use, and this was how we categorized our high-risk participants. They also had to provide specimens for hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and HIV. There were two outcome variables that we analyzed. The first one was, have you ever received the three-dose series of the hepatitis B vaccine? Before participants were asked this question, they were given a brief overview about hepatitis B and the hepatitis B vaccine. We also looked at their vaccination status through their serologic markers, specifically the hepatitis B surface antigen, the antibody to the hepatitis B core antigen, and the antibody to the hepatitis B surface antigen. We used a logistic regression model weighted to the complex weighting scheme of NHANES and also adjusted to the 2000 U.S. population using SAS 9.2. This table shows how we interpreted the hepatitis B results. Participants were classified as vaccinated if they were positive for the antibody to the hepatitis B surface antigen. They were classified as unvaccinated if they were negative for all three titers, and they were classified as having history of a past infection if they tested positive for antibodies to the core antigen and to the surface antigen. Our sample size included a little over 7,000 people representing 100 million Americans. It was evenly split between male and female, and about 30.5% of all adults were vaccinated. We estimated that 15 million adults were at risk of hepatitis B. However, only 32% of those were vaccinated, which wasn't much higher than that of all adults. The next tables show the crude and adjusted odd ratios for our logistic regression. We adjusted for age, gender, race, location of birth, education level, marital status, age at first intercourse, sexual orientation, household size, household income, insurance status, access to health care, health status, history of alcohol abuse, and tobacco use. And all the statistically significant results are highlighted in yellow. From this table, we see that men were about 40% less likely to be vaccinated as compared to women. And when broken down by age, young adults between the ages of 20 and 29 were almost four times more likely to be vaccinated than those between the ages of 50 and 59. Non-Hispanic blacks and people of other races were slightly more likely to be vaccinated compared to non-Hispanic whites. And those who were never married were about 30% more likely to be vaccinated as compared to those who were married. People who had only completed high school or less were about half as likely to be vaccinated compared to those who had some college. As far as household size, people who lived in a household with 4 to 6 people were about 20% more likely to be vaccinated. However, this was not significant for people who lived in a household with 7 or more people. Health insurance coverage was not a significant factor in receiving the hepatitis B vaccine. However, having access to a source of usual care was associated with a higher odds of vaccination. Factors that had no significant impact on vaccination status included country of birth, income, household greater than 7 people, self-reported health status, smoking, alcohol abuse, age at first intercourse, and high-risk behaviors. This table shows the distribution of participants based on their self-reported vaccination status and their serostatus. As you can see, those who reported receiving all 3 doses of the vaccine, only 47% actually had the serostatus to show that they were vaccinated. And about 5% of those who said they had never received the vaccine showed that they had the immune status as vaccinated. This graph shows the trend in vaccination status from 1999-2000 to 2005-2006. Overall, there was a positive trend and increase in the vaccination status of adults, with a 43% change among high-risk adults and a 40% change among all adults. The decrease that you see in the 2001-2002 is due to the change in some of the way NHANES asked questions specifically related to capturing high-risk people, specifically questions about sexual orientation. As far as all adults, 47% of 20 to 29-year-olds reported vaccination. And the higher vaccination rates among young adults is usually attributed to childhood and adolescent vaccination programs. In general, non-Hispanics are more likely to be vaccinated than Hispanics, and those who have more than a high school education are also more likely to be vaccinated. This is consistent with the National Health Interview Survey results from 2004. As far as high-risk adults, there is no national vaccination program for adults like there is for children. But some methods that have shown to increase adult vaccination coverage include reminders to healthcare providers, patient reminder systems, and comprehensive health centers for high-risk adults. Vaccination serostatus. As we saw, only 47% of those who reported seeing all three doses were vaccinated. This could be due to the fact of social desirability, as in our culture it is very important to receive vaccinations. And as far as those who said they had not received any doses but had the serostatus showing they were vaccinated, recall bias might be a factor. Other factors that contribute to decreased vaccination response or negative serostatus include smoking, obesity, genetics, stress, immune suppression, and loss of antibodies. It is also important to note that just because someone tests zero negative during their titers does not necessarily mean that they are no longer immune to the hepatitis B virus. If they were exposed to the virus, their body would still initiate an immune response and they wouldn't get sick. Some of the limitations for our study was that it was limited to adults between the ages of 20 and 59. This was due to the fact that the majority of the questions about high-risk behaviors were asked to this age range. The population surveyed is representative of the non-institutionalized population, and there are also high rates of hepatitis B among those who are incarcerated and homeless. We couldn't include estimates on other high-risk groups, specifically those receiving hemodialysis or people who work in healthcare. And underreporting, non-response, and recall bias are issues due to the sensitive nature of some of the questions. In conclusion, being high risk was not associated with higher odds of vaccination, and the rise in vaccination rates among adults is attributed to the childhood immunization strategies, specifically the cohort effect as teenagers move into the young adult ages. Groups that were less likely to be vaccinated include older adults, males, those who had high school education or less, and people who had no access to a source of usual care. We should create a means for identifying those at risk of hepatitis B and those who have already been vaccinated. Educate and vaccinate adults with programs similar to that of children's immunizations, and also improve adult awareness about vaccinations they may have already received. I would like to thank the following people for assisting me with this presentation and their support. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much, Conchetta, for an interesting and intriguing survey of the Anaheim's data. We have about 5 minutes for questions. Anybody who would like to ask a question, please, if you can, come up to the mic. Otherwise, speak loudly from your chair.
Yes, that also has been suggested. There are some studies specifically with young military recruits and also college students that show that many who didn't have their vaccination before entering school had to be immunized. That is correct. I'm not sure of the entire scientific background as to why that happens, but we do think that a proportion of people who were probably immunized and they didn't have detectable antibody levels. Yes, ma'am.
Right, just because there's no detectable anti-HBs, there is still thought to be cellular immunity that persists, and it's not currently known how long that immunity persists for. In booster dose studies, it persists for at least 17 or to 20 years after vaccination for babies, and longer after vaccination for adults. Unfortunately, you can't really, you know, do a blood test to see whether immunity is still there at a cellular level. We don't really know how to do that yet, but so if somebody has no detectable anti-HBs, there's not a simple blood test in order to see whether they've maintained immunity.
So would it be recommended that somebody, a baby, say, was immunized in the first year to get a booster before they graduate from high school? Or I know that, I see you shaking your head, and I know the answer, but
right. No, it's a great question. The reason why we have that 17-year number is because that's how long kids have been followed. That's how old the vaccine is. It's not because we know that immunity suddenly drops off at that point. So it's just we're kind of a victim of we haven't had the vaccine around for long enough to really know the very, very long-term immunity, but that's being looked at all the time. Looks like Mary wants to...
I just wanted to add a little to that. Because of immune memory, we know that when there is an exposure in someone who's been vaccinated and then exposed, that if you take those antibodies right after that exposure, your antibody level is going to be kicked up again. There's also, and please correct me if I'm wrong, no data that shows anyone who's been vaccinated has gone on to develop chronic hepatitis B. So what that says to me as the public health nurse, the vaccine is working regardless of our ability to test for those antibodies. Thank you. Well, it's my friends in the CDC who've taught me that.
One more question.
Is there any correlation between adults not having their insurance pay for hepatitis B and other adult vaccines that made them not be vaccinated?
Actually, I didn't look at their vaccination responses for other vaccines to compare it with insurance rates, but I do know that from other studies, those who don't have insurance are, if their insurance doesn't cover it, they're less likely to get those vaccines.
What was the question? Sorry, the question was, is there any association in these data between having insurance that doesn't pay for vaccination and having no history of vaccination?
Could you go to the mic, please?
Use the mic. There's a lot of people there.
I just wondered if I can get your response onto the fact I work at a college, and I'm not from the United States, but in any case, what we do when we actually get a serology that reads negative when someone suggests that they actually have had their three injections of hepatitis B, we do a serology. If it's negative, we'll actually booster them, and then actually 1 month later get another serology. Majority of the times it's actually serum converted. So anybody have any remark on that?
The CDC's policy on that is if someone is tested and is negative, generally speaking, is we don't test afterwards. But a healthcare provider or someone else might be looking for those antibody levels. If you test and you find out that they are negative, CDC's policy is they get the full series again. But they generally discourage us testing because of this immune memory piece, and it's really just us healthcare workers that they're looking to test, like right after we've had the vaccine.